This podcast contains plenty of personal finance chat, but that does not mean it is personalized financial advice. It comes with no guarantees and is just shared experiences. So please enjoy the show and maybe call a financial advisor for some professional help. After all, you wouldn't leave your wallet unattended for someone called Daddy.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Call Me Daddy, a podcast dedicated to elevating your game to hot dad status or big puppy energy.
Through discussing modern dad challenges that school forgot to teach us, like, well, any useful life skill, like taxes, I suppose. Or today's topic, financial nesting. Grab it by the balls.
Nice. So we've got a bit of an apology to make, I think, John.
Yeah, we do. You and I are shit.
That's exactly what I was going to say. We're shit. But yeah. Also, we're really good.
Yes.
Because we're shit for a reason.
Yes.
And the reason we're shit is because we've recorded this podcast already.
Yes.
We hated the content.
Yes.
And we hated the content. The quality was okay. Audio quality.
Yeah.
Content, shit.
Yeah.
So we decided not to post it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we're now redoing it. So.
Yeah. So we regathered, right? We're failing forward. That's what we're doing here.
Fail forward, fail fast, fail early.
Yeah.
That doesn't work, but whatever.
I'll take that on board. Now, we basically have decided to just redo this whole thing because it's finance chat. Whey!
Yeah, it's a hard topic to get right, like really hard.
Yeah,
unless you're like an expert that knows it, like the back of your own hand.
Yeah.
Very easy to get off topic. So,
I also think it's a hard topic to keep fun.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, so there's no like Texas Instruments calculators allowed in this room.
Fuck that
there's
off.
Nothing. There's nothing like that. And look, to be honest with you, the other thing is I suppose we're being forgiving to ourselves as well at this point.
Oh, of course.
Because we're both dads and it's taken a while to meet up actually to do this. Like, we've got Monday night set to do this,
but
I don't know about you. Like, I'm so busy with like my real job, not my talking into a microphone job.
Yeah.
And like looking after the kids and stuff like that. The kids actually. Renee's one of those two.
It's been a challenging 4 weeks for both of us, I think.
Yeah.
Parenting wise and work wise.
Oh, big time.
So because it's been 4 weeks since our last pod, why don't you give us a quick update on dad life?
Oh.
And let's say the number one challenge you experienced today.
Yeah.
And the number one dad thing you've had to do. So just to give people that are, you know, going to become a dad very soon or dad to be an idea into the life of a 3-month-old.
So like when Lawson was born, everything was pretty cruisy for us anyways.
Yeah.
But I think everything's sort of caught up with me a bit now. Like I'm a bit tired. To be honest with you, like, and you know, even if I say that to Renee, she gets annoyed because, like, one thing that we do, I suppose this is the dad thing, right? Because there's 2 points here. As a bloke, I came across this earlier and it spoke volumes to me. Is like, everybody wants something from you right now, right? When it comes to this point in your life, if there's a problem at home, Renee will call me and be like, I'm having a bad day or whatever. Mm. But I'm also at work and my job is to solve problems for people. That's what any job is, right? You know, no matter what you do, you're solving a problem for someone.
100%.
And so everybody always wants a piece, and every time you help someone, you're not helping the other person. And I think that's been really challenging for me too, which is part of the reason it's taken me a while to actually meet up with you to do this potty again. But do you know what? Whilst I'm complaining here, I'll tell you something good. Guess who slept through the night 2 nights ago?
Bullshit.
Shit you
Lawson.
Not. Lawson slept through the night.
Epic.
And because we'd gone to friends, we had like a barbecue with them. And then like I had a few more drinks than Renee did, bless her cotton socks. And we got home roughly 9-ish, just put him to bed. Woke up about 5:30 in the morning.
How good.
Yeah. And I was like, oh man, we're on here. Hey, like we've got this down pat. Next night, dog shit.
Nah, that's always the way.
Up every like hour and a half and stuff. And so to round back again, the big dad thing at this point in time is because I have to go to work and I have to be able to function, what Renee and I are doing is like I'll try and do the last feed of the night if she's really tired and she'll go to bed. Otherwise, we just do it together. And then she'll do whatever she needs to do overnight with Lawson. And then anything from about 5 in the morning aroundish, like sometimes a little bit earlier, sometimes a little bit later. That's me again.
Yeah.
And so I try and take him, and like, I know this isn't for everyone. I work from home quite a lot, so I can manage to get him back to sleep, and then he'll be in my office till like 9, and that way Renee gets like a good chunk of sleep.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
Like really good.
Yeah. And so I honestly reckon that keeps things going. But there's so much too. Like Renee and I also like ships in the night a little bit. Like from relationship point of view, like we're just like getting a task done and we're like almost too tired to like, you know, we just fall asleep next to each other. 100%. You know I mean?
That's one of the hardest parts of, especially having a newborn, but even after the newborn stage, it's just staying connected with your wife.
Yeah, big time.
Really hard. Yeah. But
how about you actually?
Yeah, the reason why I asked this is because like just typical dad thing happened to me just before I drove over here. And while I was doing this thing, I was like, anyone who doesn't have a kid never has to even think about this. So this is a good thing to tell our listeners to start preparing for.
Yeah.
And nothing crazy, but Maeve was doing some nappy free time and obviously did a wee. Yeah, it's just a wee. Like she does it all the time.
Yeah.
So it's nothing major, but it's just like, get ready, guys.
Yeah.
Like this is the shit you've got to do.
It's weird. Like you kind of forget that stuff pretty quickly, but it's funny you say that because I was setting up like my day. I've been really busy and then Lawson was kicking off and I took him for a run and he had a little sleep and stuff like that. And I came back and I had my time sorted. I was like, right, he comes back. I'm just going to put away some washing. We're going to have, I'm going to then take him into the bath while Renee finishes dinner. Then we're going to have dinner together. Then I'm going to set the room up for the podcast. And I did everything. I get to setting the room up. I clean the kitchen. Now I'm setting the room up for the podcast.
Yeah.
And I hear Renee's like, John, can you come help me? That's how my wife sounds. And I could hear the panic in her voice. And he's just done like a power spew all through her like hair that she got cut and colored today.
Oh, no.
And she goes like, I could wring it out of my hair. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then like you obviously had to come around and clean up my room for me to get ready for the potty.
I think that was actually one thing I told you to never do as a dad of a newborn. And this was pre-Lawson coming. And that was having to-do lists.
Yeah.
Just get rid of them. Have them in the back of your mind. This is what I want to get done for the day.
Yeah.
But don't expect it to get done because it's never going to... You're never going to do it because something always comes up.
This is what people say when they say, like, don't sweat the small stuff.
Yes.
Right? Because it doesn't actually matter. Like, you know, you just cleaned this room ready for the potty pretty easily.
Yeah.
But this is a really interesting point and a good segue into the whole finance chat that we're doing. Because as you say, you can't really get anything done, right? And you basically become so selfless with your time and your efforts and stuff and you're focusing on your kid. The last fucking thing I wanted to worry about was money.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? And the other thing is too, like when your relationship is like almost like roommates a little bit in this like tough phase or whatever, the last thing I want to do is have another friction point to like to have to go through with, you know, your partner or whatever. And so I'll start with you. Did you have the same sort of thing? Like did you organize your money in the lead up to kids or were you just like, I'm going to get this shit organized?
I've always been pretty good with money, fortunately. I've always sort of had my money management, not on point, like there's so much to improve on. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because like finances are joined and you got two people who have different priorities when it comes to money. So that's another talking point for a later day though. But, I've always been good with money and I've always sort of had a system, I guess, to follow.
Yeah.
But 100% you need to have it sorted pre-baby if you can. Because imagine trying to do that now. Like,
oh, dude, impossible.
Yeah, 100%. So, let's get stuck into the finances. So,
because I was never I never accumulated or like I never was organized. It was like what comes into my account, I pay my bills. Like I wasn't crap, I always pay
you weren't
bills
bad
or
with
whatever.
Money, but
yeah, and then like I just had this idea where I just like spend whatever's left or save whatever's left, and so I saved just about nothing.
Yeah,
yeah.
If there was $2 left, you're pretty happy.
Yeah,
till the next payday. Like, oh, yeah, 100%. Alrighty, so I guess we want to get our finances sorted, but why? Why do we want to do that?
Well, that's the thing. You want, like for me, you want to be able to just not worry about bills. It sounds so stupid. Hey, like, I don't want to worry about bills. So as the money comes in, I'll put it aside for that.
Yeah.
And like, this is, it's simple, okay, but it sucks. Yeah. So I think I just know that it would suck more to worry about it and try and, you know, the last thing I want to do is also, like, go and work more too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, it was basically I wanted to be able to not stress and I wanted it to just kind of happen automatically and I didn't want to have to think about an extra thing. And also, I don't want to be stuck in my job, hating my job. Yeah. I want a bit of, like, of a fuck you fund.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard people call it that, like, I do want to be able to just sort of be able to, like, I mean, I love my job, don't get me wrong, but, like, you know, hypothetically, if things were different, I would like to be like, I'm taking 3 months to go find my 100%. Job or 6 months.
And I think that's what hit home for me when Bree fell pregnant.
Yeah, right.
I don't hate my job by any means. I love the people I work with. However, it's not my dream job.
Yeah.
I don't know what my dream job is, right?
Yeah.
It's not something that I wake up each day and go, I can't fucking wait to do this, right? So when Maeve came along, I was like, all right, let's get everything sorted so that I've got options.
Yeah.
Like you said, if I want to take 3 months off to, I don't know, go caravanning around Australia with my family.
Yes,
I can do that.
Yeah.
Or if I want to pursue this business venture because that's something that excites me.
Yes.
I can do it.
Yeah.
And more than that, I think in the future when Maeve's sort of at school, I want to have that financial freedom that I'm not tied to a job at all.
Yeah. This was a big thing for me, like, because I love sport, right? And for me, in the way that I think, sport was what got me to be a sensible human being in a way. Sport and music were the two things that got me to actually understand how to learn and all this kind of stuff. And I want to be able to, you know, coach my kids, you know, soccer teams or cricket teams or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, you can't do that if you're flogging yourself. So I was like, well, I mean, that's not going to be of the greatest importance for like 10 years-ish. Do you know what I mean? They might start, but it's not a serious thing till they get to about 10 when you really want to start improving. And like, and so I was like, oh, I better start now to get this done.
I don't know about you, right? Sorry, going off a bit of tangent here.
Yeah, go.
But I look at like compound interest calculators all the time. Like, how much money could I have if I invest this amount, get this interest rate in 10 years' time? And I always just go, nah. I'm never going to be financially free in 10 years. Get rid of that idea.
Do you know what's actually really interesting? If you are nice to yourself, because we will talk about compound interest and stuff like that at a later date, but there is a really good compound interest calculator on moneysmart.gov.au in Australia.
That's the one,
And the other day I was trying to talk to Renee because I wanted to stop subscribing to Disney Plus because we barely watch it. And she's like, oh, it's only $25 or whatever it was. At one point she said like, yeah, there was something else that was $25 a year that cost it. She looked at me like, why are you trying to stop me from using this? And I put it into the calculator and I said like $25 a year and you leave it for 30 years until you retire or whatever.
Yeah.
It ends up being like $6,000 and nobody thinks of it like that.
Nah,
do you know
no
what I mean?
Way.
Like I don't know exactly what the math is because it depends I just did it at the average market rate. But yeah, like small things become big things.
100%.
And so that's another thing that I wish because I'd heard people say that before, but I wish I took that on board a little bit earlier and just put whatever I could away.
Yeah.
Do you know what I
mean? I wish I invested in property when I was, when like 1980. That would have been really nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I was so dumb, eh?
Yeah,
I can't believe I didn't do that.
Yeah, I was like, I was fucking around crawling and shitting my pants when I should have been monitoring the property market. But I got to be honest with you, because you said before that you've always been a saver. I have not been a saver.
Right.
I've been a dopamine chaser. I've always loved learning, right? So my major justification is like a lot of the stuff I've spent on, like I spent a lot of money on golf because I really enjoyed it. And I got like for an amateur, pretty good at golf.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I'm not excellent, but you know, better than the average. I rebuilt a car. I bought this old car, wanted to learn how cars work. So I pulled the engine apart and then spent all of this money putting it back together.
Yeah.
I put it back together myself, but you've got to get some stuff done and you've got to buy new parts and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, of course.
What else have I pissed money away on? My house, like I love renovating and learning how to use different tools and all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of that. And it took me, Lawson coming along for me to pull my finger out. And I was like, having to think about it, if I was to explain to somebody how to go down this journey, I'd put it in the old Sun Tzu's quote of, where is it? Know thyself, know thy enemy, 1,000 battles, 1,000 victories, right? Because most of the whole sort of money issue is knowing thyself, in my opinion, right? And that's kind of what I want to talk about in this podcast because, as I said before, the money would come in, I'd just buy whatever I want. Like bills would get paid and I'd buy whatever I want. And then you'd have no money at the end.
Do you know what I think I mean? Like that quote also, like you can interpret it another way.
Go on.
That you're spending money on improving yourself. Yes, you're not spending money on something that's going to make you money.
Because it's your hobby. Yeah.
But like it's improving who you are as a human.
Well, okay, good.
So I've got no problem with you doing that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yes, and now you've identified you've got a different priority because you've now got a kid.
Yes.
And you're now directing that money elsewhere to improve your life later down the track. But I still don't think you need to worry about spending that money if you wanted to.
Yeah, and this is the thing, like once you truly know thyself and like know what's happening with your money flow, then these decisions can be fine. So philosophically speaking, we'll get into know thyself, but before I do, there are a few things that are quite important to me that I don't care about how much money really gets spent on.
Yeah.
Education is one of them.
Yep.
Right. And it doesn't mean like degrees and stuff like that. Like it can do, it's broad.
Books, education,
I buy books. Yeah.
Bloody whatever.
Yep, definitely. Yep. Tools. I buy tools as well, but you got to be careful with that one because if you're just buying tools because you think it's cool and you don't use it, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Because I have two welders.
You can buy a toolbox that acts as a baby change table is what you're telling me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although, having said that, that was my dad hack for today.
Today?
So
I thought that was last podcast because you told me 2 weeks ago. Spoiler.
I will think of another one in the next few minutes. No, you're but, all good.
I guess we're talking about money and people who don't manage money well sort of ignore it. They just go, I'm just going to ignore it. If I've got money in my bank account at the end of the week, I'm happy.
Yes.
Right. And probably because they haven't received any education, like you said at the start, we're not really taught anything at school, finance related.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think the first starting point is to change your mindset. And you're sort of touching on that with this quote, right?
Yeah, know thyself. What's the first, like, how do you think about money right now?
Yeah,
did you have a big change?
Yes and no. Like, as I said, I've always been quite frugal with my money.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't understand the investing side of things.
Yes.
Like, if you go and read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which I think...
Oh, dude, you got me onto this, and this was life-changing.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the number one or the first book you should read or listen to if you're going to, like, enter this money journey, just because it is... It's a mindset change. It's not something... You're not going to go away from it and go... Oh, now I know how to manage my money. It's just, oh, okay, I'm going to view the world in such a different way.
I will actually say, I would say it's the second book you read.
Okay.
Because I'd actually say The Barefoot Investor.
Okay.
Right.
I was going to put them the other way around.
Okay, why? Well, actually, first of all-
Because I think the money, the mindset change has to happen before you then action anything. And The Barefoot Investor is something that you can physically action as you read it.
Yeah, okay. Because the thing is...
You can definitely start The Barefoot Investor, but you can't get towards the end steps until mindset shift.
So essentially the difference between the two books, which are both a big recommend, right? And I'll put it in the show notes too. Rich Dad, Poor Dad changed the way I saw things because I didn't realize that accumulation of wealth or building your own wealth or whatever was behavior-based.
Yep.
I just thought it was like, oh, you earn more... And therefore, you become rich.
Yep.
And theoretically, if you're a really high earner and you spend a lot of money, pardon me, if you spend a lot of money at the same time, I guess you are rich, right, in a certain way. But the wealth, right?
Yeah, but your income stream's not necessarily sustainable.
Exactly.
Like, there could be World War III tomorrow.
Something
could
happen.
And you lose your job.
They're unsafe, right? And that's actually why we sort of started talking about like, oh, why are we doing this? Because it wasn't for like the Lambos and the bitches.
Fuck no.
It was like more for I want to be safe. Like to be a dad in today's society or whatever, or just anyway, you need to be able to have set up a safety net around your family. And this is just part
of it. And to be brutally honest,
yeah,
we can't rely, our generation cannot rely on our government to have a pension for us when we turn 65. I'm not bagging the government.
Is that why you have that big Antifa flag on your shoulder right now? Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it's an aging population. Yeah, population growth's through the fucking roof. Yeah. They can't afford it. Yes, we've got something called super here in Australia, but we can't just rely on that, right?
Which is like the 401k in America.
Correct. It's our retirement fund that's compulsory here in Australia.
So, right, let's just circle back, because I agree, right? Because you can get really philosophical and, like, you know, bring in your political opinions and stuff. I just believe that I want to be self-sufficient.
Correct.
At the very least, if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, I can look after myself.
Yep.
That's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, that whole behavior thing, right, knowing those thyself, how did you manage to – well, I mean, you kind of said that you already always sort of tracked everything, right? Because I had a big change after listening to these.
No, I never tracked anything.
Oh, you didn't track
anything? I was just uber fucking tight.
Oh, you're a tight ass.
I was a tight ass. I'm so much better now. Like, when I say better, I mean I'm not a tight ass anymore. I'll spend money on what I want to spend money on.
Okay, but this is a point to talk about now, because you're saying that you're less of a tight ass,
yes,
but you're better with money.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, well, elaborate on that for me. So what changed for you?
When I say I'm better with money, I'm utilizing my money in a way that makes me happier.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so previously I was just tight ass and wouldn't enjoy a night out with mates because I was like, no, I can't spend the money. I've got to be tight.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, no, I can spend that money because that's an enjoyable experience for me. But I'm getting off track, right? Let's go to how we track our expenses, right?
Yes.
Or how we started our money management journey.
Yeah.
And I think after you've read Barefoot and
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Yeah.
The first step, and this is also a mindset shift for you. It's not a hard formula to follow. It's just you need to track where your money's going.
Big time.
To start getting a picture of where that money's going and where the leaks are.
How did you feel the first time you did that?
It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because you sort of see expenses and you're like, why and how?
It felt for me as if someone was twisting a pine cone in my ass.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'd had a blind eye to this stuff for so long. And then and this is why it's like know thyself, right? Because all of a sudden you can't lie, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was looking at my money and I was like, I've been so bad with it. Like where, because you can even do it at the end of the year, right? You find out how much you've earned across the year and you've got nothing at the end of the year.
It's fucked.
And you're like,
when you do that.
Yeah, I know. And you go, where's all this money gone? And I was like, if you do the math and find out all your expenses and then you realize how much money you've pissed away, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I do want to say this, right? It sucks. That's the only thing of this that sucks is having to look at yourself, have a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror. I don't know why that got sexual in my brain for a second. But yeah, a long, hard
look. I saw that twinkle in your eye. I'm like, where are you going with this, mate?
Yeah. I mean, you could always, we won't go there. But anyways, you have to have a look at yourself and go, all right, this is what's been going on.
Yeah.
And track all your expenses and then get clever with the money that remains.
Yeah. And I think, like, this is the number one thing to do. Like, this is the most important step, I guess.
Yeah.
And just to elaborate on tracking expenses, what do you mean by that?
So, for me, I did this real simple. There is an awesome template on Excel that shows you a graph of cash flow of money in versus money out.
Yep.
I just looked at my bank account and I went through to see recurring payments. And then I just sort of like had a little think about what did I know that I was either subscribed to, like Netflix is a great thing, you know, your internet, your electricity bills. And I just sort of like ballparked it quite a bit, but really conservatively. So I didn't make it look like everything was cheaper. I made it look like everything was more expensive.
Yeah, okay. So did you track every single expense? Like, did you go through every time you've swiped your card?
Oh, I just flicked through it because you can do it. Like, I found this quicker just to flick through it. Some apps, like the Commonwealth Bank app, will actually show you recurring payments and stuff, which you can do, but you know, I didn't bother. I just had a look and like you can kind of figure it out and then you just find out. And what it does to you as well is it makes you look at stuff you haven't looked at in ages, like your insurances and all that kind of stuff. And I just put all of that together, like I said, conservatively. So I, you know, if it was a chance that it was a higher that I usually pay more, I'd put the more in.
Yeah.
And then I had everything there. And the graph basically showed me that I essentially had to spend 60% of my income, right, at that point, which is like rich dad, poor, not rich dad, poor dad.
When you say had to spend your
that
60%,
was
that's your fixed bills.
That was my fixed bills.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm not going to say to keep my life running because there were things in there that didn't matter. There were golf fees. There were like fun things.
Okay. So you've only looked at recurring payments so far?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, right?
Okay. I did a lot more, something a lot more brutal.
What'd you do?
I literally downloaded 3 months of bank statements and went through line by line and categorized them myself. Well, so like every single time I bought a coffee, it was coffee.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's brutal. It took an hour, I reckon.
Yeah.
Maybe an hour and a half top. So it's not like a huge exercise. It's huge when you've got kids, finding an hour and a half. But like when you don't have kids, like that's...
It's very masochistic. Like how did you feel every time you saw you bought a TV or whatever? Because this is the thing.
But like I think that's what you've got to do because it just makes it like it's so brutal that you see every cent and where it's going and then you can understand where the unnecessary spending is.
See, this is so interesting the way our brains work, right? So the brutalness for me came into like find out what I actually needed to survive.
Yes.
And then subtract that from what I earned in a year. And then you realize how much you spent. I didn't have to see what I spent it on because the thing is I knew it was just crap. And so this, you know, becomes, you're in this position in life where you spend without thinking. But the minute you start tracking it, right, it kind of gets a bit fun. It was fun for me. I learned a lot, right? So I called the bank, got them to drop my interest rate.
Yeah.
I got rid of a credit card because I was like, what am I doing with this? I don't need this.
Yeah.
Right? And there are, you know, some people deal with like them and all that kind of stuff. Not for me.
And these are all steps in the barefoot.
Yes,
book,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, don't take notes. It's in a book for you.
Yeah, go listen to a book. Yeah. Look, honestly, one of the best things I've heard is that books are way better, like a far more well-curated group of thoughts put together. And so if you want to learn something, listen to a book.
Yeah,
and
this well, is think good. About it. You've got someone with 15 years experience putting all of their knowledge into like 200 pages.
Yeah, exactly.
Like how fucking good is that? You can't get better education than that.
I see books as a seed. Right. But when you plant a seed, you also need manure to get it to grow. And I see like our podcast is just pure manure. Right. It'll help
like
that
it.
Seed grow.
Yeah, I like it.
But don't eat it. Right. But yeah, so like a few things. It took me a long time to get into it because I realized it was a behavior change. But the minute I did, everything got better instantly. So from when I started actually doing this budget, I have not been stressed about money.
Love it.
Once. I've been stressed about Renee spending money because I had to then convince her to get on board with this.
That's the hardest part.
Yeah. And we'll leave that for a whole other day.
Oh, yeah.
But...
I don't want to get in a fight. Let's not talk about
it. Actually, when I say leave that for another day, I mean, like, let's just forget about it.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, like, I'm a chaotic person. I wasn't as regimented and I just adjusted everything as time went on.
Yeah. You just become so much more conscious of where the money's going.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of the exercise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's know thyself, right?
Yep.
Okay. So if that's know thyself and it's just like, why are you doing this? Because that'll give you longevity. Where's the money going? Right. And then it's essentially... What do I need to do? What do I personally need to change to get to a position where I can know the enemy? Because that kind of feeds into this as well. Because for me, the enemy was like this unnecessary spending. It was turning a blind eye to what was going on.
Yep.
Now, I had some other notes here too. Yeah, so like when I had a look, when I actually got everything down on paper, I could see what was a good bill and what was a bad bill. Like a really good example was for my home and contents. I had about 3 times the amount of money that I needed in the content section.
Yeah, okay.
And I dropped that down a huge amount so that like it was like relatively substantial at the end of the month that I paid less.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then there was like things that were a good debt. So like, you know, because I'm one of the fortunate people who's been able to buy a house, right? Albeit a bit of a shoebox, but I bought my little shoebox and I love it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm very happy to be paying that because I've got a shoebox, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that I love living in or whatever. So I was fine with that. And then you could see the other things that you could start to cut out because that was the enemy. So there was heaps of stuff. There was insurance bills or insurances that were just poorly matched to my life.
Yeah.
There were like Apple Care and stuff like that because like these little bits and bobs that I was like, this is crap. I don't need this. Yeah. And like, and this is a barefoot investor idea. It's like, put money aside, right? Like in a bank account that you never touch. And that is the excess, right? And up all the excesses on your insurance,
yeah,
right, so that you pay less,
yeah,
right. And those were the little things about sort of knowing the enemy. And the other, for me, the biggest enemy was just this unbelievable consumerist spending.
Oh yeah,
because it added nothing to my life. And this is the biggest thing, like from the Know Thy Enemy section, I reckon, that I had to wrap my head around, is because I grew up. Look, I mean, let's put it this way. Like, we started off pretty okay to do, and then we moved to Australia. We gave up a lot, right? And so when I say we gave up a lot, like there was one point where we were in the country. Dad had just found a job. He didn't have a job originally, found a job, and it was out in like a relatively bush area at the time. And because we didn't know where we were going to live, all of our stuff was in South Africa. Like, we'd sold off a lot of stuff. And then so for a number of weeks, we just slept on the floor. And like neighbors had brought like pots and pans. And I'm not saying it's like, oh, poor me or whatever.
Yeah.
But these things made me think, like, when I started working, I was like, I've got my own money. I just spend it on whatever I want. Okay. And I'd buy crap because I thought it made me happy. And then I realized, like, after a while, you accumulate all this rubbish and then you're not using it. No. There's so much stuff that I don't use. Or not anymore, but because I cleared all of it out. But there's so much rubbish that I just accumulated. And I was like, I've got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
And I was so bad because, like,
it's,
I said,
so dopamine chaser. It's so easy to get in that cycle, hey.
Yeah.
You see someone else with a nicer car, you're like, oh.
You're keeping up with the Joneses, great example.
Keeping up with the Joneses, 100%.
Yeah.
I see you with a nice lawnmower, I go, oh, I could buy a nice lawnmower.
Do you know what? So we'll get the lawnmower. I've got a cylinder mower because I like striping my lawn up. But like, I had already started the financial journey when I bought that. And Renee's like, no, you're like, you're doing all this stuff. Why are you buying that? And I was like, I used it and I mowed like a bunch of people's lawns with it and I got all the money back.
Paid it back.
Like,
how good.
Like, but this was the change in mindset, right? I was like, this thing's got to pay for itself.
Yeah.
Right. It went from like, we can't afford it to like, how can you afford it? And that's in, what do you call it? In Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a great way to think about things.
100%.
Too. Am I rambling a bit?
No, you're good.
Oh, good.
You're very good, mate.
See, this is difficult. It's hard to keep on track with this one.
Do you want to touch on how we manage our cash flow now?
Yeah.
Just quickly, because like I can see people listening to this going, this is all awesome. I'm going to go read Barefoot and Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Oh, geez, rate yourself.
I'll track my, hey?
You really reckon people listening going, this is awesome?
Our listener will.
Yeah, yeah. This is tolerable.
Yeah, but like,
yeah.
You know what I mean. Like,
give them something.
Yeah, track your expenses, but then what?
Yeah, okay. So this is just how we do it, right?
Yep.
It's food for thought because in Australia, the laws are, we can't give financial advice, nor should we, right? Because I'm sitting here in my jocks pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Talking about
money. We are not financial experts at all.
Yeah, exactly. But I will talk about what I do. So, and I'll bring it back to the know thyself and know thy enemy. So knowing thyself, I have all my expenses and I know that every month I have to keep X amount of dollars. So I have a daily expenses account where all my money goes into initially, and that's where all my bills come out of. But then know thy enemy. One of the things is, whatever money, I know this about myself and the nature to want to spend on rubbish, is that if I don't put my money somewhere straight away, it'll just get spent on crap. So straight away, I send some money into my, like extra money into my home loan, and I put some away for accumulation in investments, which we'll talk about next week. And I have a splurge account, which I call treat yourself, right? And I have a holidays and renos account, okay? And some of them, like, without getting too deep, because I've got a mortgage, I do have an offset account, which means that it looks like I've paid that on my house, but I've got access to that money. That's all that is.
Yep.
But the biggest important thing is this concept of, like, I'm paying myself first. So I've automated ways that money goes into the house, a little bit goes into investments, and I give myself $400 a month. I'm going to say it on here because if you're told, like, well, I remember you telling me that how much you put away and I was like, that's crazy, man. I'm spending like a grand on myself and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
$400. Yeah. Right? Give myself $400. And that's like, that excludes like the daily expenses, because the daily expenses are things like all my bills, groceries included.
Yeah. Fuel, like, you know, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So realistically, if something horrible were to happen in my household or whatever, I wouldn't have to have that $400. That's for like coffees. That's for having jugs of beer.
Yeah. If you were to lose your job tomorrow, that $400 wouldn't be there. It would be in your daily expenses.
Yeah. That's where you need exactly. It. Yeah. But it keeps me going too, and because I give myself, it's like a manufactured scarcity is what they call about it. So I behave like I'm poorer than I am. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which in actual fact is I'm not poorer than I am. I'm well within my means.
Yes.
I'm not spending money I don't have. I just
do. But because you've allocated all your money already.
Yes.
You'll perceive it as if you've only got $400 for the month.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And then whatever, like this all changes, right? Because like in the lead up, while Renee was still working, there was more to work with, right? And now she's not working. Because she's looking after Lawson, and you know that we had interest rate rises, like, and all that kind of stuff. So things change all the time, but that's basically how I look after it. How about you?
Actually, very similar.
Yeah.
So I've got what we call a savings account.
Yeah.
Which is our, like, we call it the hub. So that's where all money goes in and all money comes out.
Yeah.
So all income is into the savings.
Yeah.
There's no card attached to that savings. It's just the bank account. Oh, nice.
That's a good idea.
And then we transfer money into our daily expenses.
Yes.
And that's a once a week transfer. That's how much money we've got for the week for all our daily expenses, which is grocery, fuel, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
All fixed bills and recurring bills come out of the savings.
Yep.
And then like you, we've got individual splurge accounts.
Yeah.
Where we get X amount of money per week to spend.
And do you know what? I want to make a point here because we're kind of similar. The idea is we pay ourselves first, right? And that we have all our fixed bills come out and that's basically it. And we portion it up or whatever. I think that's more important if you do that and figure it out yourself. Like you don't have to do exactly what you read in Barefoot Investor. You just do whatever works for you.
Yeah.
Because like you said that you and Bree have like individual splurge accounts or like accounts here. And that's a really good thing because we don't. We've just got one.
Yeah,
and
right.
Like this happened last month.
So is it $400 between you or?
So $800 will go in there.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And Renee spent all the money.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, not all the money. Okay, that's really unfair.
$750.
There were a number of times where her and I had dinner together. So,
like, yeah, okay.
But I had not purchased any consumer item except for food.
Yeah.
And there were like things I actually wanted to buy. And I said to her, I was like, you spent this money. And then she said to me, because we had a big discussion now again, because she's at home. She's like, I'm bored. And I was like, yeah, but we've got to be really careful. Like, you shouldn't be spending money because you're bored.
Get a free hobby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Go for a run. No, I'm kidding. Imagine I said that. She'd kick me in the dick.
I think the biggest difference between the way we manage money, and I think I probably need to take a leaf out of your book, is you put your money away straight away because you know you'll touch it if you don't.
Yeah, because I'm a fucking pest. Whereas, I can't be trusted.
Yeah. I've got rules around it where we're only meant to transfer once a week.
Yeah.
Like, I could count on one hand how many times we've only transferred once a week.
Yeah. Well, see, okay, because I've got this problem too in a different way. So, in my setup, right, you know how I've got like the daily expenses, I said, where all the money comes in and our fixed bills come from there, including groceries?
Yeah.
So, I over allocate. Groceries, like I was, let's say $800, right? So for a month, $800 of groceries, which is deliberately conservative. So there's too much money there for what there should be. Oh, for
we
just
do way more than $800 a month.
Well, this is the thing, because like once again, Cozy Lives at the moment, cost of living, things are a little bit more tight. But realistically, if we could keep, because I used to have it at $600, but I wanted to track it like on the fridge, like every time you buy something that fits in that, put it up on the fridge, because at the end of the month, then you could use whatever's left for whatever
something
you want.
Something else, yeah, you've allocated the money.
We could literally
use
just
it.
Go and have dinner together. But for fuck's sake, it's never worked.
Yeah.
Like, since I've been doing this at least sort of like a year pretty much now, it has not once worked. Not once have we actually put it up on the fridge, like for want of trying.
Yeah.
And so it just highlights to myself that not only I, but my household cannot be trusted in that circumstance. So, like, put money somewhere straight away.
Yeah.
Don't muck around. Because then you also don't have to think about it. It doesn't, like, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll touch on this next week. But I think the step that we sort of have avoided is you track your expenses.
Yeah.
And then now we've gone straight to how we manage our money. But there's a step in between, and that's your budget, right?
Yeah.
And we won't go into detail, but once you do a budget and you see where all your money's going.
Yes.
And how much money is left over, called your surplus.
Yes.
To do whatever you want, i.e. for us, investing.
Yes.
There's sort of a emotional attachment to that money. So yeah. You're more reluctant to spend it because you know yes. that you're taking it away from your future.
Yes. This is a huge thing. I'm so glad you brought this up because I had a massive mental change after doing this because the job I do every 3 months is a commission month.
Right.
So if I do well at my job, then I get a bonus.
Yeah.
And when I first came into this, like my mind would be like, ah, brilliant. My bonus is coming. What do I want? And I'd be thinking of what I could spend it on. And then it got to a point where I was like, why am I doing this? Like, I can set my whole budget up to like my base rate. Right? And then if I'm fortunate enough to have been good at my job for a few months and I get extra money, that money, I should just not think about it. It should just go.
100%.
It should just
go. It's like a forced savings nearly.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And it like that mindset change of being like, what can I spend it on versus like keep it.
Yeah.
And make it work. And I know this sounds crap because it sounds like I'm just saying, I just save your money. But that's not exactly the point, right? Like, so wealth is, you know, you need to be able to accumulate money yourself, which is like a bit of the point, right?
Yes.
Because you need to know that if something were to happen. Because this is the other thing I didn't mention. When I first started doing this, the first thing I focused on was having 3 months worth of daily expenses.
Yes.
In an account somewhere. Yeah. Because if I were to fall ill, the way my stuff's set up, my life insurance or whatever it is doesn't come in for 3 months. And I needed to know that we could make it through that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like that was the same deal. So money went into that straight away. But you raise a good point. It becomes like an emotional thing. It's actually fun. I sound like a loser saying this, but it actually becomes fun. Every time I put money away, I like rub my little hands together like
green it's pig. Awesome. Eh? Yeah.
yeah. And you can like feel the stress reducing.
100%. Yeah.
Now, there is something I wanted to talk about when it comes to like know thy enemy. There is something called the hedonic treadmill.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of what we sort of been talking about, and the reason why I put money away so quickly or put money where I can't necessarily touch it easily. And that is something I sucked at, right? Because you and I, right, I'm 30 and I'm actually older than that, but only just, and you're just younger than 30. Realistically, in our life, we've got young kids, right? We're at the infancy of our careers, right? No one listens to the podcast yet. Right. So we're at the lowest earning capacity of our life.
Correct. Yeah.
But we're in this part where we're paying the most amount of interest on our home loans.
Yep.
We have kids to get into school and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
And the hedonic treadmill caught me up in the first like sort of 10 years of working or whatever. Every time I got a pay rise, because you do when you get like, I was working as a nurse. So every year you basically get a small pay rise because you become more experienced. Right. And so you would think that I would have started off living like fairly happily, and then I would have gotten more and more, I would have accumulated more wealth, more money as I got paid more, because that was the way I was thinking. I was like, get paid more to be rich. I did not accumulate anything.
No.
It's the hedonic treadmill.
Yeah.
So hedonism, like what you want right now, and then the treadmill, you just keep going, you just look for stuff. And it was the same thing. Bonus coming in, what do I spend it on?
Yeah.
Hedonic treadmill. There has to be some point where you go, actually, and this is more the philosophical side of things, is like, well, what do I need? It screwed me up a little bit at the moment now because like my birthday's upcoming and usually like I ask for gifts and stuff. I don't want anything now.
Big no.
I literally, there's nothing I can think of I have to say, like, I check myself before I wreck myself. Like, there's a certain degree of privilege in saying that too, right? That's not going to be the same for everyone.
Of course, yeah.
But, like, all I really want to do is just go have, like, a meal at the pub.
Yeah.
And I want to run an idea by you. Because I've got some money set aside for Lawson for when he goes to school, because I don't want to feel that pain when he goes to high school.
Yeah.
I kind of thought, like, telling my mates, I was like, don't give me anything. If you feel like giving something, just put money in this thing, because what you're doing is you're giving me time back.
Yeah, I love it.
Do you know what I mean? There's no better gift than you could give me than more time with my family. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's a weird.
Like, it is a bit weird.
It is a bit weird. And I almost feel a bit awkward to say it. Are you down with that?
Yeah, big time.
Okay, well, I'll send the deets through and you can.
But I agree with you. It's my 30th this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just depressing.
Dude, it's not. 30s are way better than 20s.
Yeah, okay. But I'll agree to disagree, even though I'm not there yet. I keep telling all my workmates that I'm getting old, and I'm like the youngest by 15 years.
Yeah, look, I started noticing some people were getting old at 30, like some knees were creaky.
Oh, man, I've been old for like 10 years.
Oh, you have?
Oh, I've just played too much rugby. I'm gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, everyone's like, oh, what are you going to do for your 30th? What do you want for your 30th? I'm like, I don't want anything.
Yeah.
Like, literally just a meal at the pub with family and friends, and that's all I need. I don't want people spending money on me.
Yeah.
Save your money and do something better with it.
Is that because you don't want to spend money on them?
Nah, not at all.
But this brings it, so this is like a philosophical thing too, because I'm not a gift giver per se. Because a gift is annoying, in my opinion, because like you don't really know what I want.
Yeah.
And like what I want is stupid and weird, right? Because that's me. I do weird things like that. So just don't bother. Just, I'd rather enjoy my time with you, right? Like, for me, it's a bit like that. But, you know, everybody always says like, nobody ever says they wish they worked more. Everybody on their deathbed,
exactly.
Right? They always say, like, I wish I spent more time. So I try and focus that because that can, for the most part, be free. like I said, like, I'm just happy knowing that if something were to happen to me and I feel sick, that Renee and Lawson will be okay for a bit. So that's
100%.
Yeah, that's something different. But yeah, so just quick recap. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Know yourself by starting a budget. It doesn't have to be that crazy that you stick to it because I tell you what, I don't actually stick to my budget.
I think
budget's
all the time. Bullshit, just quietly.
Do you do what?
I think budgets are bullshit.
Yeah.
Just quietly. Because they're rear view mirror.
Yes.
They're not looking in the future.
But what it does do is it makes you a conscious spender.
Correct.
Because you should, in my opinion, when you go to buy something, be like, oh, should I?
Yeah.
That feeling, that's a friction point, and that's important, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You should be like that. And I wasn't like that for years. I was just like, yeah, spend my money.
Yeah. But that's what splurge is good for.
Yeah.
And that's why I like doing splurge weekly, not monthly. Because monthly you could easily spend it straight away. And then you've got that tendency to transfer a bit more.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's weekly, it's pretty easy to control, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good way to think about it.
I don't know how you do yours monthly. I would really struggle with that. Because you do all your expenses monthly.
Yes, it sucks. It's just based off the way that I get paid.
Of course. If I understand why you're doing it, definitely. Yeah. But I would personally really struggle.
Yeah. So continuing with the recap. Sorry. Yeah. So you track where your expenses are. Then you can look at it and try and drop whatever unnecessary expense you have. Have a real good think about whether you need whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, do you need to have Amazon Prime, Stan?
Yeah.
Disney Plus.
And all your fixed expenses. So like your mortgage.
Tinder.
Mortgage, insurances and whatnot that you'll definitely need to have.
Yes.
Talk to them. Try and get the best rate. Shop around.
Yeah.
That's a good starting point. Because you could save thousands. Literally thousands of dollars just doing that.
Yeah, it's so true. And because that's the first thing I did because somebody pointed out that they need me just as much as I need them because they're making money off me. And if I say to them, well, I'm going to go somewhere else, they'll be like, oh, no, we'll do what we can to keep you. So keep people honest, right? It's called fair market competition. It's good. I used to feel like an idiot for like trying to bargain. I felt like, oh, they must think I'm so poor.
Yeah.
But it's the fact of the matter is like you're just looking for a good deal.
I tried to bargain my car insurance down from the lowest there was on the market. I did not succeed.
but this is the point, right? And this goes to the fact of like my first month of the budget was a bit wrong. Sometimes it doesn't work. You just got to adapt.
Oh, 100%. Constant. Like,
call them again in a month. Adapting.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll get a different operator.
I mean, they're the best car insurer in Queensland, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to leave them.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to save some money, you know.
Yeah, that's it. So have a look at what you got.
Yep.
Try and cut any unnecessary expenses. Mm-hmm. Pay yourself first.
Yep.
So we'll get into how we save our money or accumulate wealth, whether you do it through investing or whether you do it just plainly through savings, right? But either way, put your money somewhere where you don't go and grab it and know that is you.
Yep.
That money there is you because that's so important. Because it's like somebody mentioned this. I think there's an actual sort of like psychological phenomenon. It's got a name. It's like Richard's principle or something like that. I'll find out what it is and put it in the show notes. But you know, with toothpaste, do you know how fucking you live like a king
when
you just open it? Like, I was like 6 meters of like toothpaste. And then like it and then you go to town and then it's not very long and there's not much left in that toothpaste. And yet for some other reason, you stick to that toothpaste tube for another month and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Because you're just like rationing yourself.
Yep.
It's the same concept as that. So like get rid of the excess, put it into wherever you want and then live off the rest. Okay.
That's exactly why I don't understand how you do monthly. But anywho.
Well, because the thing is, it's just it's, what it is it's more uncomfortable. If you do it monthly, it just means a bigger amount that I'm putting somewhere else and having to use less for a long period of time. Yeah. And it's kind of scarier. It does have, it's a double-edged sword. Because when it's scarier, I have more friction points to just spending money.
You're good at saving it for the first 3 months, 3 weeks. And then the last week you can
live
like a king. Yeah,
it's like end of financial year. I just go like crazy in that last one.
So I think we've recapped pretty well.
Yep.
And Rich Dad Poor Dad, great book for mindset.
Yes.
Barefoot Investor, great book for a starting point on how to manage your money and like genuine tangible steps you can take.
Yes.
Understand it's not sophisticated, but it's a super, super good starting point.
Yeah. I'm such a fan of that book. Yeah. Like, I've heard a few people say it's not sophisticated. And like, yeah, when you listen to it, you kind of need to change it to the way that you do things a little bit. But the fact of the matter is he gives you an actionable plan.
Yeah.
He teaches you about what, you know, who wants to take your money from you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how to be a bit more savvy about it and just how to be your own person and not get caught in that stuff. I think it's so important. Yeah. Like if you grew up in an area where money wasn't talked about in your house, that I've learned that that's not what life should be like. Money wasn't spoken about in my house. It was like, oh, we just can't afford it or like whatever. Yeah,
it's a taboo topic.
Yeah, it was a taboo topic. It was rude. But in actual fact, like we should have it because you and I talk about this stuff all the time. These conversations because you want to grow and you want to be a better person or whatever. And I now actually talk to my parents about it because we're in, we're all in our individual houses and stuff like that. And so we all grow doing that. But it's such a good point.
Yeah. I think for 90% of the population, it's a near perfect finance book.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get into investing, there's topics within the book that don't make sense. But yeah, we'll get into that later.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. So next week we'll have a chat about where our spare money goes to because like everything, Dave and I are polar opposites again.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same concept, different mode, like mode to get there. But that's all well
exactly.
And good. So anyhow, what I reckon is...
do you want me to do dad hack first this week?
Yeah, please, because I haven't fucking thought about it.
You now need to think of a new one.
I'm going to have to think of something else.
I've got two if you want me to just share two this week.
Yeah, okay, and I'll just talk about them.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so my first one's more of a dad. It's more advice rather than a hack.
Yeah.
And it's to stop being a typical male and go get checked out by a doctor. Go get your skin checked. Go get your prostate checked.
Yeah.
Just talk to a GP you trust and get an actual plan put in place because typical blokes, we go, she'll be right, mate.
Yeah.
We don't need to go see a doctor for this weird rash we've got. but yeah, I recently got my skin checked for the first time. And living in Australia, skin cancer is the number one killer.
Yeah.
I had a suspect mole that got removed. Not cancerous, fortunately, but it was a bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that call out there. Go get your skin checked. Go talk to a GP. And
so what you're saying is be sensible.
Be sensible because...
Don't turn a blind eye.
I don't know about you, but before Maeve, I did not give a fuck about my health. And when I say my health, I mean the things that will actually kill you. I really cared about fitness and diet and whatnot.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, I don't know, cardiovascular health, skin health, that sort of thing. Yeah. I didn't care. Whereas when Maeve came...
I used to suck down a lung lolly. Loved it.
When Maeve came along, I'm like, fuck, I need to be here a long time because I've felt the pain of losing a parent.
Yes.
I would hate for Maeve to go through that prematurely.
Yes.
So, yeah, my whole perspective changed. So, I'm just, putting the call out there.
Now, that's good. I'm on with that too because the age of like 30 is when you start to realize like more stuff. Obviously, the longer you're around, the more you start to see that happens to people around you and like talking about getting yourself checked out. So like, obviously I've got a nursing background, so I'm not that vigilant, but I check myself out.
Yeah.
Probably a little finger in my bum. No, I'm kidding. But like, I actually like check my testicles because when you're a young bloke, the highest cancer risk is going to be testicular cancer.
Yeah, right.
But one day I was squeezing a pimple on my chest and I lactated and I was like, this is not right. And it turned out to be a brain tumor, right? And like, I don't want to scare people, right? It wasn't cancer. It was just really unlucky as to what it was. It was just hypersecreting a hormone that did that. But like when that happened, like I'm so lucky I had the knowledge and caught that early, because I could have gone, like where the tumor was in my brain, I could have gone blind from it.
Yeah, okay.
And literally the way to deal with it, there was nothing to be scared of or anything. Like, if I was fucking freaking out when it happened. But like when I went to the doctor, I remember this like vividly, because I was struggling to get in to see anybody, and I was like freaking the fuck out. I was like, I got this tumor in my brain. Like, what's going on? Turns out I just need like half a pill twice a week, and it just goes away.
Yeah.
And I felt like incredibly better, because, you know, talk about saying you're getting old. Everyone, I was like 29 when I found this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone was like, oh, you're like, I was putting on weight unnecessarily, despite exercise, constantly fatigued. I was angry. I was like moody. And like, these were all signs that like my hormones were imbalanced. And I was like telling people I work at that, like, oh, you're just getting old. I was like, I've got headaches. They're like, oh, it's sort of like you're getting old. I was like, why is headaches something you fucking get when you get old? And so I almost, in a way, had turned a blind eye to that, because they said that tumor had probably been growing for a while.
Yeah.
And so it took me lactating to be like,
oh, I was going
to
say, you start lactating, people are just like, you're just getting old, John.
Yeah.
It happens. Like, it's called menopause.
Yeah, the knees go and then you start lactating.
Oh, crazy. That is actually crazy.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Next hack is very easy for you.
Go on.
And you're aware of this one.
Yeah. Let's pretend it's mine.
And it actually fits well with the finance chat.
Yeah.
And I've got an Audible subscription.
Oh,
$16.99 a month. You get, I think it's $16.99. Anyways, you get one book a month.
Yeah.
However, Spotify has fucking upped its game, and like 95% of the audiobooks
this
are Audible.
This is my fucking hack. I told you this.
Are on Spotify. Yeah, I'm Spotify. Helping you out, mate. I'm thinking of a hack for you. But no, you told me about a book. I just assumed it was just, you know, the occasional books on Spotify.
Yeah.
Every time I go to put a book on my wish list on Audible, I check Spotify. Every single one has been there.
Yeah, but do you know what? I think it's a 15-hour listen limit in the Spotify Premium. I looked it up because I listened to another book, which is awesome, called The Millionaire Next Door. But I listened to it like twice because I like doing that. And one time I just stopped. I was like, what's going on here? There is an end point. But it's substantial. Per month.
Okay.
And then it doesn't roll over, but the next month it just starts again. So
I don't have Spotify Premium. I'm assuming my books are just going to have ads,
which
sucks.
Yeah, interesting. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Anyways, but I'll test it out over the next week.
Yeah. And just to jump on the back of that, I haven't done this yet, but I will be doing it. Libraries, you remember those things? Mm. Ever since the internet came out, I never set foot in one again. But you can actually get audiobooks from libraries. They have apps and stuff like that. I've been told. So I'll come back to you next podcast. And
libraries are free, right?
Yeah, I think so. The part of your, whatever you pay for your rates and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right. Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so I've heard like that you can get stuff there too. Honestly, audiobooks, they're on top for me. Love them.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this wasn't just garbage.
This was a lot better than last time.
Better than last time. I should like, I thought about like maybe releasing the other one. I was like, I'm not putting that.
Nah, last time we literally finished recording. We just looked at each other and we're like, that's fucking garbage.
I wonder if it's taken us so long to come back and do this because we were actually like.
I think we were put off.
I was put off. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, it took a bit of the pizzazz out of it. But it was just, it's because we weren't organized enough. But look, this
is. We winged a very difficult topic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So next week we're going to talk about how we got to the point where we could squeeze extra money out of our situations and where they go, where that money goes.
Yeah. And pros and cons of why we do what we do.
Yeah. 100%.
Because we do different things.
Yeah.
Yep.
So sorry about being so late, particularly to the three people in Ghana. I'm sure they were hanging out waiting for the new one. Dude, I looked up in the States, because there are people in the States that listen to this. Thank you, guys. But I looked, there was like a place called Ashburn.
Oh, yeah.
In the analytics, and I was like, oh yeah, we've got like 26 listens in Ashburn. I was like, oh, that must be like must be like a group of people that listen to it. Turns out it's just some like internet portal hub, so like whatever info flows through Ashburn or whatever, so it could be anywhere. It's probably just accidental downloads.
I saw one in Dubai, and I was like, that's definitely just an Aussie who's traveling to Europe or something.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Well, till next time.
Hooroo.
Catch you later.
Bye.